This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا ثم الحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد ثم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني وبعد. Everything in life has a proof. When you're hungry, you feel pangs in your stomach. And as Ramadan approaches, a lot of us are thinking ahead of the long days that we're going to have to fast and the hunger that we're going to feel. When you're tired or when you're sleepy, you feel very exhausted and you want nothing more than to lay down in your bed and go to sleep. When you're motivated for something, when you really want something, for a lot of the younger brothers, when you want to get married, or for people who are graduating or finishing grad school and you want to get a job, or if you want to buy a car or a house or something, start a family, then the proof that you wanted that thing is that you got it. Brothers and sisters, if I asked you all a question, if I asked you each a question, and myself, a very simple question, the answer would be a resounding yes. This question is something that we learn throughout Sunday school, something that we learn from our parents at a young age, something that if someone accepted Islam later on in life, it's one of the first tenets that we learn, something that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had to ask himself. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was testing him and asking him and said, "Ya Umar, how much do you love me?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything except for myself." And the Prophet ﷺ responded to Umar and said, "Ya Umar, not yet. Ya Umar, not yet." Meaning what? That your iman hasn't been tipped over to the scale of perfection yet. Not until what? Until you love me more than you even love yourself. And so Umar bin Khattab came back to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and he said, "Al-an ya Rasulullah, now ya Rasulullah, I know I love you more than I even love myself." The question is, brothers and sisters, do you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Anywhere I go, any city I travel to, whether it's my hometown in Knoxville, whether I go to England with Sheikh Abdul Nasser, whether I come here to IOK in beautiful Southern California, if I ask this question to any Muslim, any person who claims to believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, then the answer is yes. I love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love him. That's why when we teach our kids about him, we sing songs about him, we send praises on him, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the peace and blessings upon him. That's why when we say his name, Muhammad, we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as with everything, as with hunger, as with being sleepy and tired, as with being motivated, love has a proof. Love has proof. If you love something, then there's some proof that comes with that. I love my wife, for example. Alhamdulillah. For a lot of the younger brothers who all want to get married, inshallah, one day, it'll come soon. I love my wife. When we were first getting married, I used to say things to her like, she used to live far away. And I said, "I would walk all those miles just to see you for 10 minutes. Right? Brothers, take notes, by the way. That's how it's done. Right? I used to say, why? Because I loved her so much that the proof of my love, that I wanted to prove to her that I loved her. So I said, I would walk 700 miles on foot just to see you for 10 minutes and then turn around and walk back. And it was, and at the time it was true. Now, a little bit older, 5 years into the marriage, my back hurts a little bit, maybe not so much. I'll drive. But the question is, brothers, do we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And what is the proof for loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we look at the lives of his companions, radiallahu anhum, if we look at the companions, the Sahaba, our examples, our role models, our superheroes. If we look at them, we find that the proof of love is two things. The proof of loving the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is two things. Number one, it's imitation. Wanting to be like that person. When you love someone, you want nothing more than to be like that person. That's why I grew up in Chicago in the 90s. Michael Jordan, the best basketball player to have ever lived. Sorry, Kobe Bryant. When he played basketball, Michael Jordan had a couple moves that he would do. When he was dunking, he would spread his legs and go like that. When he was driving to the hoop after an amazing layup, he would let his tongue hang out. He had some signature things that he would do. So all the kids, no matter what age, what color, what background, whatever kid, when they played basketball, they would do the same thing. Why? Because we loved Michael Jordan. On a more realistic level, you see a lot of young parents in the crowd today. Your kids imitate you, and you know what I'm talking about. That they want to be just like you. When you make a new friend and you really click with that friend, you get really close with the brother or with the sister that you're friends with, then you start to like the same things. When you get married, you start to enjoy the same kinds of activities together. Because when you love someone, you want to imitate them. And the companions taught us this, that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of the things he was known for was taking care of people. One of the things that he was highlighted for. You know what? When he received revelation, when he received اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, when he received revelation, you know what? He thought it was a punishment. He didn't know it was coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't know that it was wahi, that Angel Jibril had come down to give him this message that was going to change the course of history. He didn't know. So he went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said, Ya Khadija, Ya Zawjati, my wife. He said, am I being punished? He said, what happened to me? He told her the whole thing and said, am I being punished? And she said, no, God would never punish you. He would never be angry with you. And what was one of the first proofs that she said? She said, what? Because you take care of people. Because if anyone needs help, then they know that you, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, you are the one that's going to help them. And so where do we find this imitation? Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq led the Fajr prayer. Imagine that we're in a masjid together and the imam leads. And after Fajr, what is everyone supposed to do? We all know this. We're supposed to say the azkar, right? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. We're supposed to say the azkar. And we know that we're supposed to make dua. We're supposed to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah for all the blessings He's given us. Read some ayat al-kursi, read the different ad'iyah. But Abu Bakr Siddiq, after he got done radiallahu anhu leading Fajr, he got up and he left. He got up and he left. And he would do this for a few days in a row. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar, he saw this happen. And he said, why is he leaving? He goes, we all know the culture is to make dhikr after prayer and to, you know, get started with our day in a good, on the right foot. He said, why is he leaving? So one day Umar said, you know what, I'm going to follow him. And so Abu Bakr Siddiq got up one day, said the salam, he got up and he left. And Umar said, okay, here's my chance. So he got up and he followed him. And he kept creeping behind him like around the corners, because he didn't want Abu Bakr to see him. And he follows Abu Bakr Siddiq to like the outskirts of a town. Very, very, the far outskirts of Medina. And he sees Abu Bakr enter a house. He says, that's weird, whose house is this? He goes, did he move? I don't think he moved. So he goes and he follows him. Then Umar ibn Khattab, he creeps up to the window of a house. There's a window. He creeps up to the window and he looks over and he sees his friend Abu Bakr Siddiq, the student of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sees Abu Bakr Siddiq cleaning. And then he sees him cooking. And then he sees him taking care of the chores, doing the errands for a house. And he says, what's he doing? So then Abu Bakr Siddiq finishes and leaves. And Umar hides. He waits until Abu Bakr Siddiq leaves, radiallahu anhu. And then Umar goes up to the door and he knocks. He says, anybody home? And the person who answers the door is not the person that you'd expect. It's an old, frail, blind woman. And she says, hello, who is it? Assalamu alaikum. And he says, wa alaikum salam. Ya Ummi, my mother, out of respect, he's showing her love and respect. He says, Ya Ummi, did you know that someone was in your house? And she said, yes, there's a man who comes here every day and he helps take care of my things. You know, he helps lay out all my chores and stuff. He takes care of my cooking. He goes, very nice of him. Umar Khattab says, yeah, Ummi, my mother says, do you know who this man is? And the mother says, the old lady says, no, he won't tell me his name. This is the leader of the Muslims. He's doing chores and cleaning someone's house, and he won't even tell the elder lady who he is. Because without her eyesight, she can't even see who he is. And Umar bin Khattab, upon hearing this, he begins to cry. And he says, Ya Aba Bakr, you're making it very difficult for us to catch up with you. Meaning what? Like, you're killing us right now. Like, you're owning us in Ajr and Hasanat. Like, we can't even compete with you. Right? Where did Abu Bakr Siddiq learn this? He learned this from the person that he loved, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during the early days of Mecca, was once walking. And we all know that the message of Islam was not accepted in the early days of Mecca. It wasn't readily accepted. People weren't really excited to hear it. They were challenging the Prophet Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to a point where actually they even hurt him, hurt his followers, and even killed some of his followers. And they would do terrible things to them. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking in the street and he sees an older lady, right? Story sounds familiar, right? And he says, Ya Ummi, my mother. He says, what seems to be the problem? And we know this isn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother, because his mother passed away very early on in his life when he was 6. And so she says, Ya Ibni, my son. And they're speaking to each other with love and respect, which teaches us that if young people want love and respect from elders, we have to give them love and respect first. So she says, my son, this man came, his name is Muhammad, and he's ruining my city, the city I grew up in, Mecca. He's ruining it by spreading this message of La ilaha illallah and saying that he is a Rasul of this Allah. And she's saying, I don't want to live here anymore. So I'm packing up my things and I'm going. And he said, Ya Ummi, I'm so sorry that you feel this way. How awkward is this conversation, by the way? That she's hating on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he's literally right in front of her face. So then he says to her, Ya Ummi, I'm sorry you feel this way, but if there's anything I can do to help you, to make you feel better, then let me know. And she goes, no, I want to move. I don't want to stay here. And he says, can I at least then help you? If you've made up your mind, can I help you move? And she says, my son, that would be so kind. So he packs up her things and they begin to walk to the outskirt of a town. Sounds familiar. Abu Bakr Siddiq. See? The imitation, the love. So he begins to walk her and she says what? She starts talking all this trash about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She starts saying that he's, you know, a crazy person. He's a magician. He's a sorcerer. He's a poet. Starts saying all these nasty things about our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he begins to, and he just listens. He just listens and takes it. I mean, he could make a dua against her and a lightning bolt would come and take care of the whole situation. Like, he could do anything. He's the Prophet of Allah. But he patiently takes it. They get to a spot, she says, here, this is where I want to live. He says, here? She says, here. So he sets up her things, he builds her house, he does her errands, he cleans her house. And then he says, Ya Ummi, I'm done, is there anything else that you need from me? And she says, Ya Ibni, no, you've done so much. And he says, Ya Ummi, do I have your permission to leave? Do I have your permission to go about my day if you don't need anything else? And she says, my son, of course you don't need my permission. You did this on your own, you're so kind. So he says, Ya Ummi, I then bid you farewell. He turns and starts to walk away. She calls after him. She says, my son, one thing. This whole time you've been helping me. This whole time you've been serving me. This whole time you haven't told me your name. And he said, I'm the Muhammad that you hate so much. And she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Muhammadan Rasulullah. She said, you are the messenger of God. And we see what? That his student, his friend, his companion, Abu Bakr Siddiq, our teacher, our role model, he loved the Prophet so much, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he did the same thing. He copied the Prophet to the T. Imitation is a proof of love. Now the question we have to ask ourselves, do we imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we love him? Yes. Do we imitate him? That's the question. Do we even know enough about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to imitate him? Do we even know how he would handle certain situations so that when we go through those situations, we can respond in a similar way? How he treated his family. So we get into an argument with our spouse or with our kids or with our parents. Do we know how the Prophet ﷺ thought about his parents or treated his spouse or his children? Do we know how he did that? And if we did know that, if we do know that, are we doing it the same way he did? Are we imitating him? Or is our love for him just lip service? That's the question. Is if we love him, are we like him? The second proof of love is sacrifice. And this, again, we go back to no one else but Abu Bakr Siddiq, the Prophet's best friend, his companion. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an was one of the masters of sacrifice. Again, with Umar bin Khattab, they always used to have this little competition about who could get closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who could follow him more. And so the Prophet ﷺ asked for some donations, some sponsorship, you know, for them to give for the sake of Allah, to give. And it wasn't like pulling teeth. The Prophet ﷺ didn't make you wait, you know, until they reach a certain fundraising goal before you could eat your dinner, right? He would just ask and the companions would give, right? That was how they were. And so he asked one day, and Umar bin Khattab said, you know what? There's no way. There's no way I'm losing today. Today is the day Umar is going to get a W, right? Umar's going to win. He said, I'm going to take half of my wealth. Half. Could you imagine giving half of your wealth? Selling your house, your cars, everything. Cutting it in half. And coming to Sheikh Noman Beg and saying, Sheikh Noman, I have half my wealth for you. I know he'd love it. Right? And I know the students at IOK would love it. But could you imagine? Inshallah, we could all do that. I ask Allah to make our hearts all able to do that. Ameen. But could you imagine actually doing it? It'd be tough. But Umar said, for sure, today's the day I'm going to get that W. So he said, I'm going to do it. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have half my wealth pledged for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may Allah reward you, Umar. This is a great donation. This is a great. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq comes up quietly. And the Prophet says, Ya Abu Bakr, what do you have? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have all of my wealth. And Umar says, every time, I can't compete with you. Every time you beat me. This is the Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is the one who loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day in the early days of Mecca, again we talked about this a little while ago, we said that the message wasn't received very well. So Abu Bakr Siddiq and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were sitting and they were worshipping Allah. And the gang, the thugs of Quraysh, the gangbangers, right? These are worse than the Crips and the Bloods, man. They were tough. They were tough. And they didn't care about your money. All they cared about was your message. So they came and they went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they started to push him around. You guys know those scenes from like movies and TV shows and where the bully starts to pick on the little kid on the playground. They start to push him around. All the bullies surround and start to push. So they started pushing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ is trying to diffuse the situation. He's saying, look, just let me be. Just chill. It's okay. Just relax. And they're saying, no, we're not going to relax. Get out. Stop preaching. Stop telling people. Stop converting people. Stop this. We're not going to relax. So the Prophet ﷺ says, guys, just relax. It's okay. Just relax. They say, no. So it escalates and they keep pushing, pushing. One of them takes their shawl, you know, the ridat, the shawl. He takes his shawl off. And he wraps it around the neck of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he starts to choke out the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He starts to choke him out. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gasping for air. And Abu Bakr Siddiq looks up and sees this. And he gets up and he goes to the man who's choking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he pushes him. He says, "Get off of him." He says, leave him alone. He's not bothering you. He's just worshiping. So are you going to hurt a man who says, my Lord is Allah? And so they turn their attention from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They turn it to Abu Bakr. And they said, man, you want some? We're going to give you some. So they begin to pummel Abu Bakr Siddiq. They begin to beat him up. And one of the people of Quraysh, he's known to wear his sandals, his shibshib, his chappal, right? His sandals have this hard marble on the bottom of them. The rest of the people, they usually just wear their sandals normally with leather. But this man had a certain style where he would put rock and marble on the bottom of his so that they were hard. So he takes off his sandal and he gets down on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and he puts his knees on the chest of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and he immobilizes his arms. He takes his sandal and begins to beat in the face of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. To the point where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu gets knocked unconscious. His face is bloody. He's bruised. Later on, he's in a coma. He comes to and he wakes up and his family is all around him. And his family, obviously, they see the abuse that he took. And they say, what are you doing? What are you doing, Abu Bakr? Why are you sacrificing your health and your happiness for this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why are you sacrificing your health for him? And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq tries to get up, but he can't walk. He stumbles and falls down. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wakes up and the first thing he says is what? He says, where is Muhammad? And he says, I need to go see him. And his family gets frustrated and they say, why do you always want to sacrifice yourself for him? And some of his family, they leave. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq tells the rest of his family, he says, I need to go see him. So they carry him to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a man who couldn't walk. He's being carried to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Carried. When he enters the doors of the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's back, he jumps out. His legs regain their strength. He runs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hugs him from behind and he says, as long as you are okay, I'm okay. As long as you're okay, I'm fine. I'm down. I'm ready to roll. The proof of love, brothers and sisters, is imitation and sacrifice. The question we have to ask ourselves, if we really believe that Allah is one, and that his messenger is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we love this prophet, we love this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the question we have to seriously sit down and reflect about is, are we imitating him, and what are we sacrificing for him? Do we sacrifice our sleep in the morning to wake up for Fajr, to follow the example that he set for us, or is our sleep more beloved to us than following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we value our money, our paychecks, this transient item that we have? It's not even real, it's just numbers in our bank account. Do we value this more than we value supporting projects that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to support? Do we love our nafs and our ego so much that we don't follow how he treated alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife and his kids? Do we want to follow our own example, or are we willing to sacrifice the hunger of our nafs and follow the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's the question that I ask myself and ask all of you today, and I hope that we can find the answer that will please Allah and please His Messenger. أَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم آمين. So we know now the stories and we know the point. The proof of love is to imitate and to sacrifice for the one that you love. Brothers and sisters, today's homework, I know that a lot of you are almost on summer vacation, but today's homework is to go home and to take a piece of paper and to sit down for a moment by yourself with no one else around. Or take your iPhone, or if you have an Android phone, may Allah forgive you, you can take that out as well. And you can open up the notes or the memos, and I want us all to write down six things. Six things. Right? That's it. Not more than six. I want us to write down three things that we think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three positive, obviously they're all positive, but three very strong, loving characteristics that we love about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we wish we could have. And I want us to write those down. And I want us to make a goal that before and into Ramadan, which is only a few weeks away, that we make this our goal to inculcate those three characteristics. And I want us to take three more minutes to write down three things that the Prophet ﷺ warned us against, that we have, look in the spiritual mirror, in the mirror of the qalb, of the heart, and ask yourself, what are three things that I have that the Prophet ﷺ said, be careful of these three things. And I want us, by the time Ramadan comes, to have worked on ourselves to the point where we have reduced, if not eliminated, those three things. Because tazkiyah and spirituality and tasawwuf is wonderful only if it's practical. If we sit and tell these stories and we shed tears and our hearts love the Prophet ﷺ more, that's beautiful. But if we don't translate that love into something that transforms us into a different person, then this may become a proof on us and not for us on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah to protect us from that. So we need to make sure that we take this khutbah and we use it to transform ourselves, not just sit here and feel good about the legacy that we belong to, but become someone who starts to help that legacy and help create that legacy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our families, our friends, our communities, our nation, our ummah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to help our beloved brothers and sisters who are being oppressed all over the world, whether it's in Sham, in Syria, or Bangladesh, or Burma, or Pakistan, or Egypt, or Somalia, or Sudan, or here in the United States, all of the people who are being oppressed and who are downtrodden, whether it's from a physical oppression, or a financial oppression, or a spiritual oppression, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to help ourselves and to help us and to aid us in transforming ourselves, to bring us out of the darknesses into the light. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable our hearts to love Him and to love the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.